Canada is a very beautiful and diverse country, but do you think we are unified? Are we one? And how do we bring together so many different peoples and cultures? Unfortunately, if you look at history, Canada has usually answered this question with this kind of attitude: my way or the highway. This is especially true when we consider the peoples God first placed on this land. When Canada became a dominion in 1867, the policy and the legislation was this, and I quote, "Do away with the tribal system and assimilate the Indian people in all respects with the inhabitants of the dominion." This was unity through assimilation and force. And unfortunately, the church, the institutional church, also took up this approach. And one of the ways they did this was through what's called residential schools. They got the idea from the American boarding school system, from which came the infamous phrase, kill the Indian, and save the man. That is, take away one's indigenous culture, who they were, and make them more civilized, make them like us. And unfortunately, the Christian Reformed Church, of which we are a part, they had such a school in New Mexico called the Rehoboth Christian Mission, today known as the Rehoboth Christian School. And it too followed the similar philosophy, unity through assimilation and force. Here's a picture from the banner. It's the main publication of the Christian Reformed Church. And the top, it says, "What Christianity has accomplished." Beside it is a picture under the heading, "A Pagan Indian," that's before. And then after is a picture below, is a quote-unquote civilized version or civilized transformation of peoples. And this unfortunately harkens back to that quote again, "Kill the Indian, save the man." And Canada, they took up this approach, this unity, to a grotesque level. The Indian Residential Schools was founded with the church, and this was their mission. I quote again, "Our objective is to continue until there is not a single Indian in Canada that has not been absorbed into the body politic, and there is no Indian question and no Indian department." And today we are still experiencing the effects of this evil form of unity. As you have heard, 215 children are found on the grounds of a residential school near Kamloops, BC, on the lands of the Kamloops First Nation. One survivor named Dennis Saddleman, he wrote this very powerful poem in which he imagines the residential school like a monster. He says, "You didn't care how you ate up my native culture. You didn't care as long as you ate up my Indianness. You're a monster. You dumped me in the toilet den. You flushed out my good nature, my personalities, dumped me without parental skills, without life skills, dumped me without any form of character, without individual talents, without a hope for success." And many of my friends who are homeless are either survivors of residential schools or their parents were in residential schools. And because of this, the witness of the church has been compromised. When people think of Jesus and Christianity, they don't think of love and humility and respect. They think of domination, force, and assimilation. One of my friends wrote this in her blog. "As a Christian First Nations person, I've often been faced with the question of, how could you become one of them that is a Christian after all they did?" She then goes on to state, "The Ten Commandments state, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not lie. Yet they," that's Christian settlers, part of the colony, "coveted our land, they stole our land, our children, and our way of life. And then they murdered our children and they lied about it. And all of these things were done in the name of Jesus. And now they want us to forgive. Fine, let us forgive so that we will not carry these wounds in our hearts. But forgiveness does not mean we have to adopt their ways." We're looking at unity in diversity today, especially in the book of Acts. And as we look in the scriptures, we see that instead of bringing unity through force, strength, assimilation, Jesus brings unity. That's the true Jesus, brings unity through weakness, humility, and love. And we're going to look at a story in Acts, Acts chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me and see how Jesus, how the Holy Spirit brings unity through weakness. We're starting in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 16. Hear the word of the Lord. Once when we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul, that is an apostle of Jesus, and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, this world and even your church feels so divided. And when we even try to be unified, we don't do it in love. Or if we do it in love, it's a distorted kind of love. Love of our own ways. And because of this, many people are hurting. So I pray for those who are in deep sorrow right now, who are in pain. Please be close to them. And pray for those of us who have benefited from the tragedy, benefited from this evil kind of unity. Help us to be humble. Help us to know where you are working and where you are not. And Lord, may you use my small words today for your great glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what I believe God wants us to know today, and you can write this in your sermon notes. If you don't have them, you can go back to the website and look under the resources tab. So this is what I believe God wants us to know. In Christ, strength comes from unity, but unity comes from weakness. If you look at this story, instead of enslaving people for economic gain, God's servants, Paul and Silas, they liberate this girl who was a slave. Instead of putting people in jail, forcing them into labor farms or residential schools, God's servants, they go to jail. And instead of allowing children, people to die, they did all their best to preserve life and proclaimed the good news of Jesus in weakness and humility and love. In Christ, strength comes from unity, but unity comes from weakness. And what we're going to do today is just go through those two points. First one, in Christ, unity comes from weakness. And then number two, in Christ, strength comes from unity. So look at the first point now, and you can write this in your notes again. In Christ, unity comes from weakness. The disciples of Jesus didn't come into this city called Philippi with this big caravan, an elaborate marketing strategy, maybe free t-shirts, pamphlets, all that stuff. They didn't even use the power of miracles to attract people. Oh, come on in, we'll bring them in. But rather, they followed the way that Jesus commanded them to. In Luke 10, chapter 4, Jesus tells the disciples, go out into the world, but do not take a purse. Don't take any money. Don't take any resources or a bag. Don't take extra food even. Just go and don't even take sandals. Don't even wear shoes. Just go where I'm sending you and do not greet anyone on the road. Don't dilly-daddle. Just go for it. One commentary argues, this is kind of when you meet someone, there's an elaborate greeting, all this stuff. Don't worry about that. Focus on the mission. And Jesus is telling them and telling us, when we go into the world, we are called to go in this vulnerability, this weakness, complete and utter dependence on God, not our own schemes. And there's a belief in the church that God will only really use strong, quote unquote, strong Christians. What's called a worker for Christ, or maybe a multiplier. And yes, God does use our strengths. But many, many oftentimes, the Holy Spirit, God uses our weaknesses. Uses us when we are utterly broken and defenseless. Now let's look back at the story in Acts 16. Paul and Silas, they come into this town and they see this slave girl who had a spirit. Now the spirit translates actually python, because it's referring to a snake guarding the oracle of Delphi, which had the power to predict the future. Now I really feel really bad for this girl, because once she is possessed by a spirit, that's probably not good, but humans are taking advantage of her in this state, making money off her, and she's just utterly trapped. And she starts saying these interesting phrases. These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. And we're not sure exactly what that means. She could be actually saying, these guys are telling us about Jesus, the way to salvation, believe in them. Or she could be referring to another way. Most High God could refer to Zeus, actually. We're not exactly sure. But Paul turns around and frees her from this spirit. But if you look at the text, it's not out of a place of strength, but of weakness. Paul didn't free her because he just had great compassion on her, because it was the right thing to do, because he loved her, but because he was annoyed. He was irritated. He just couldn't take it anymore. This girl was kept talking. He kind of lashed out. And in this moment of weakness, let me say, in this mistake, this was the thing the Holy Spirit used to bring people into the saving knowledge of Jesus. We've talked a lot about this, but this book we're reading from is called Acts. And it's sometimes called the Acts of the Apostles, what the apostles did, but more so, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Despite what the apostles did, the Holy Spirit was moving in powerful ways, especially in the apostles' weakness. And Paul, one of the main characters, he knew this well. In 2 Corinthians 12, starting in the latter part of verse 7, he says this, therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, before this Paul's talk, God has blessed him so much with these visions, with the spiritual power. In order to keep me from being proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's how the Holy Spirit often works, in our weakness. Now, we're not sure what exactly the thorn in the flesh was Paul's talking about. It could have been his irritability. Maybe he got angry easily. We're not sure. But through this weakness, Paul and Silas were then further beaten, put in jail, and then they were put stocks on their feet, which is a mild form of torture. They were weakened even more. And in this place of utter weakness, utter helplessness, the Holy Spirit moved again. He sent this huge earthquake. And the prison doors flew open, and even the shackles were let go. And Paul says they weren't doing anything. They were just sitting there in bloody and all messed up, singing, praising God. And when their chains fell off, they could have ran. Well, maybe not run because they were beaten, but they could have hobbled out. But instead, they stayed to save the jailer, their enemy. A little background, during those times, there was kind of a law. When a jailer was in charge of its prisoners, he had to take care of them. He had to make sure none of them escaped, or else he would be severely punished, probably put to death. And he said, I'm going to die anyway. All the prisoners are gone. Let me do it in an honorable way. Let's take my own life. And instead of running away, Paul's house, they stayed. And the Holy Spirit used this event, used their weakness to turn this man and his whole household into followers of Jesus. And I believe that Paul and Silas were able to sing in the midst of weakness, in the midst of the darkest pit, and were able to be obedient to repay evil, not with evil, but with good, in the midst of their weakness, because they believed they were following in the footsteps of Jesus. They believed that God did not abandon us in this dark place, but rather this is exactly where God has placed us. And Jesus, who went through the same thing, was giving them strength. You can write this in your notes. In the story of Paul and Silas, we see a picture of the kind of weakness Jesus displayed, a weakness that brings unity. Jesus, too, was put in jail. He was beaten. He could have sent an army of angels to come down and defeat all his enemies, but he allowed his enemies to lead him to the cross, to crucify him, which was at that time the symbol of the ultimate weakness, ultimate humiliation and shame. Only the worst of the worst were put on the cross. And Jesus died on the cross for the sake of his enemies, to save them. The Bible says that all of us were enemies against God. And Jesus did this out of love in order for us to be one, in order for us to be reconciled back to God. In Matthew, it says that after Jesus died, the temple curtain was torn in two, and then there was a great earthquake. And the image here is, in the Old Testament, God put these laws in place, created this temple in which, in the very center of the temple, in the most holy place, that's where God dwelt, his spirit dwelt. And only the high priest could go into the temple, into the holy place, to kind of be a mediator between God and man, to intercede for us, and to sacrifice an animal for the forgiveness of our sins. And when Jesus died on the cross, this is what kind of happened. Jesus, Yeshua, he became our high priest. He was a mediator between God and man because he was both God and humans. And in order to forgive us our sins, he offered a sacrifice, not an animal, but himself. And his blood now covers all our sins for all eternity. He's the final sacrifice, as Hebrews says. And when this happened, the temple was torn in two. It was almost like God's presence, the Holy Spirit, came out of that temple, and the earthquake came again. Similar to what happened in Paul's time. This earthquake happened, signifying that the Holy Spirit, God's presence, it wasn't just for the Jewish peoples, but for all nations, all peoples. The purpose of the Holy Spirit was to bring all peoples together. All peoples would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And Jesus did this, not through force or domination, but through weakness, through sacrifice, through love. And the disciples were able to sing in their weakness because they knew. They knew Jesus, the risen Christ, who brought salvation and unity, not through military force or coercion, but through weakness, through the cross. And they believe that even in their weakness now, even in prison, even in death, Jesus was accomplishing his good purpose through them. Because in Christ, yes, strength comes from unity, but unity comes through weakness, through the cross. Let's look at the second point. After we find this unity through weakness in Christ, strength comes from unity. Now, these two characters in Acts 16 are very, very different. We have this slave. First, she's a woman. She's kind of the lowest of the low. Like, she's so trapped. I feel so bad for her. Even when Paul freed her from her demonic possession, we don't know what's going to happen to her. Will she be able to be free from the economic oppression? Will she even be able to, after she heard what happened to her, connect with other believers of Jesus? Will she be allowed to? We're not sure. And then we have this jailer. He's kind of like an ex-military, rough around the edges, middle-class kind of guy, probably European. We're not really sure. We don't know the slave girl's ethnicity because she was a slave. And then next week, Pastor Christopher is going to talk about another kind of character to the story, Lydia, who's likely a Middle Eastern, very wealthy merchant. And these three became the basis for the church, or when I say church, I don't mean a building, but the community of believers in the city of Philippi. And we learn about this church through Paul's letters to the church. There's a book called the Philippians, and it's a letter to the church. And in that, those letters, we find a church that is very, very healthy, strong, and unified. When Paul writes the letter, he's so filled with joy because this church is doing awesome. And this should be very surprising that they were so unified, given how diverse and different these characters were who made it in the beginning. And one commentary argues that one of the things threatening the unity of the Philippian church was wealth. Philippi was a Roman colony, so wealth was very, very, and status were very important. The top never associated with the bottom. Lydia and the jailer were never associated with the slave. However, it seems that's exactly what happened in the church. The divisions were broken. And the commentary writes, Paul is speaking of throughout the letter is not a unity based on social status, economics, or shared interests. Rather, it's a unity grounded in something far more comprehensive, the gospel. The only thing these three characters had in common was Jesus. And that's what made them strong. And this church in Philippi actually lasted until the 7th century. Wow, that's a strong church. Until, it's kind of ironic, an earthquake destroyed the whole city. The Holy Spirit started the church with an earthquake and ended the church with an earthquake. And in Christ, this church in Philippi is an example that strength does come when we are unified. You can write this down in your notes. When we are united in weakness, humility, and love, rather than force, then we are strong. And this is the hope that Jesus has for his community of believers, for those who call upon his name. We've come to this verse a couple of times, but I want to come to it again. In John 17, verse 20, Jesus is praying for us. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. When we are unified and when we're strong together, we show the world who Jesus really is. Because of the legacy of things like residential schools, people now have a distorted, a ugly picture of who Jesus is. To many of my friends, Jesus is like the man of God, supposedly, the woman of God, who abused them, who hurt them, who stole away their culture and identity, instead of what they're supposed to do, protect and love and respect them. And when we are unified in weakness, we then show the world who Jesus really is. And one of the ways we're trying to do that, show the love of Jesus through letters of reconciliation. We are writing letters of confession, of repentance, of lament to many people impacted who are grieving the 215 children found in near Kamloops Residential School. And I encourage us as a church to be part of that. And if you're interested and want more information, or you can send your letter directly to kim@mosaichouse.ca. Let me just end with this. You can write down in your notes. The more we embrace unity in diversity, the stronger we have become. Remember I mentioned the Rehoboth Christian School earlier? That was the CRC's boarding school. Well, it's actually still a school. And in 2003, they actually publicly confessed their sin and committed to repentance. They confessed to operating under the delusion of Western superiority and also committed to celebrating and respecting indigenous culture. And in the past, when students went there, indigenous students weren't allowed to speak their language. Today, they actually offer language classes in Navajo. It's also a very diverse place. Two-thirds of the students are indigenous, and the rest are a mixture of Hispanic, Caucasian, Ethiopian, Filipinos, and more. And it's now today listed as one of the 50 best Christian high schools in America for 2020 by thebestschools.org. And today, God is using this school to equip students in their culture, not away from the culture, not torn apart from the culture, but within their culture to be a part of God's kingdom work. And today, these students continue to contribute to the strengths of God's people in their diversity. And this story really gives me hope that the Holy Spirit is working in the midst of our weakness, in the midst of our failures, in the midst of our humiliation, our mistakes, our confessions. The Holy Spirit is at work, bringing unity through our weakness, bringing strength when we are unified. And I pray that we would just, for me and all of us, trust the Holy Spirit is working among us to bring about His kingdom, to bring others to the saving knowledge of Jesus in the midst of our weakness. So let us strive for that unity in weakness and repent of any unity through force we have been part of. In Christ, strength comes from unity, but unity comes from weakness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask God again, pray for those who are deep sorrow, anger, pain, hopelessness, in the face of the grief of all the children, all your children, who have been impacted by this distorted and evil kind of unity we have subscribed to. We confess the church's part. And Lord, we now want to repent, not just in words, but in action. So help us, Lord, to embrace our weakness like Paul, to proclaim that when we are weak, then we are strong. Not to force things, but to let your Spirit lead. And in this vulnerability and surrender, Lord, may there be strength. May there be true Christ-like unity in your body. Lord, bring redemption, bring justice, bring healing. We need you, Holy Spirit. Cover our hearts with your love and grace. Empower us to live from our weakness so you may be glorified in us. And Lord Jesus, may your words be true that we be one as you and the Father are one. Help us, Lord, we surrender everything to you and we are united not because of who we are, but because of who you are. And we believe in you. We believe in your power, believe in your resurrection. And that's all we can do. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.